Well, what a great day. I mean, the sun is shining. Have you seen the smile on the sun's face today? Go on. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, so good morning, everyone. It is really nice to see you. I've been looking forward to this all week, seeing your faces. I mean that as well. Last week, I didn't want to go home. So I thought I would come back next week and we'll do more together. But it is really nice to see your faces. It really is. It's nice to see smiles. And it's nice that the sun is shining today. It's funny how that when the sun comes out, it makes our worries disappear a little bit. Anyway, so today, as Alan said, the songs were chosen with a different sermon in mind. But I've been wrestling with God this week. Well, God's been wrestling with me, to be honest. And so we're going to talk about salt and light. So we'll do that, okay? So today I'll be delving into touching a little bit on the Sermon on the Mount. Do you know what? Can you pray for me? Can someone pray for me? Thank you, Christopher. So I shall be touching on the Sermon on the Mount just a little bit, because that would be weeks, wouldn't it, of unpacking the Sermon on the Mount. Because I believe it was a powerful moment in history. And I believe that Jesus turned the world's thinking upside down at that moment on that sermon. I mean, could you imagine being on the side of the hill when Jesus shared, blessed are the poor. Wow. I believe he gave clarity to a system that was corrupt at the time. How many times do we as mankind look at a situation and say, well, God didn't mean this. You know, like when Jesus, some of the things he did, like he said, if you look at a woman, yeah, you've committed adultery. Yeah. There's a lot of things in this Sermon on the Mount which is powerful. Where it's like, are you sure you meant that, Jesus? Are you sure? Because are you sure I shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that? Are you sure? I mean, Eve, going back to the Garden of Eden, when she was talking to the serpent, it's a classic example, really. Are you sure? Satan says, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? It's like a question. Are you sure God said that? Are you sure? I'm sure many of us here this morning have been in situations where potentially there are blurred lines. Yeah, like, for instance, a pen. It does say in the word, do not steal, doesn't it? Right, and how often have we picked up a pen in a bank or in IKEA, picked up a couple of pencils? Are you sure, God, you said don't steal? Because I don't think that is stealing. But I'm not here this morning to point fingers. And we're not even talking about that, but it's just leading up to it. But God has given us His Word, His Holy Spirit to guide us. And it's no secret that to draw closer to God, we need to meditate on His Word. Would you amen that? There's a lot of truth here. And this can be transforming for our lives. And we do live in do you think we live in a hard-hitting world? Because I think that I struggle sometimes with the world. Because it's so challenging. For example, the world, this is just an example, but the world says, and from a young age, it's okay to sleep around. It says it's okay. In the Bible, it says different. In the Bible, it says about being married, doesn't it? The world says that if you want to be selfish, you can. I think that's probably one of the hardest things to break, because we all at times like to be a little bit selfish. You know, I'll use me as an example here, because I don't want to finger anyone out and say you're selfish, because that's not what it's about. But I'll use me as an example. Yesterday I spent 2 hours of my life was gone on jet washing the patio in the garden. And Susie said this morning, well done, Chris, well done. But you just stopped. You left everything on the floor and just went indoors. You know, would you want a round of applause, Chris, for doing a job which you should do? Yeah, I do. And Susie's done that to me many times if I've hoovered. She's like, and I'd say, oh, Susie, I hoovered today. I'm like, well done. Well done, Chris. I know. But she's right. She is right. You know, I should have finished the job. Rather than just start walking doors, I'm wet. Get my trousers all soaked in sand and just throw them on the floor and just walk through. And then all of a sudden I come downstairs and they were gone. Yeah. Good old Suze, yeah. People will be praying for me, Susie. But yeah, it's easy to be selfish, and I can vouch for that. And especially when Jesus says to be selfless. And put your needs above others. They're other people's needs above yours. But the Bible teaches us that we're not of this world, doesn't it, in John 17. And that we're called to be different in 1 Peter 1. That doesn't make us aliens, but it does mean that we can need to consider integrity. If we say one thing and do something there else, that makes me a hypocrite. One of the biggest complaints that I've, you can Google it, but from what people have said to me, from people who don't believe, is, well, you Christians, you sit up there and you say one thing and then do another. And I don't think that's fair, because it's not all Christians are like that. But I can kind of understand what they're talking about. You guys are not. But we're the exception. But I can understand that, because many years ago, I had friends who come to church, not this one, in my first church, and I'd become very legalistic. And I said to the family, you can't do no work on Sundays. So I didn't work Sundays. I'd also told Susie, you can't hoover on Sundays. You can't do washing on Sundays. And these friends of mine said, well, we don't want that. That's just rules. I was wrong, but I put people off coming to church. I was wrong. So That's not even what we're talking about today. But what we're going to look at is, in the Word of God, we're looking at what God says about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do the people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glory, and glorify your Father in heaven. Have you ever done a study on salt? No? Right. I did. And I'm going to tell you some interesting stuff about salt. Salt of the earth is what Jesus calls us to be. An interesting comparison. But have you ever thought why Jesus said salt? And I believe this is a bit of a challenge for each of us today, this morning. Salt is a mineral. And it's natural. And it's something that needs nothing else to be what it's made to be. Okay, so it needs nothing else. So salt on its own is salt. The very nature of salt is salt. Or it is nothing. The essence of salt is action. By itself, it has no purpose. You will get me. I know you're looking at me with really perplexed faces. But we will get there. Salt is there for the sake of something else. Why salt? Whoever receives God's life and accepts Jesus as their Lord and Saviour grasps that the very nature of their future has taken on the character of salt. Salt is a life extender. Okay? It's a cleanser. It's a disinfectant. It's used to preserve life. So going back to the old, I've had conversations with a few of you guys, but going back to the olden days, salt, actually might not have been you guys, might have been someone else, but salt was used. You put it with meat, yeah? You put it with fish, yeah? And it extended the life of the meat, the fish. Also, you put salt on your dinner, and it brings that flavour in, doesn't it? Brings out more. You're looking forward to your jacket potato, aren't you? Aren't you, Brian? I mean, the strangest thing about salt is, you ever put salt on an orange? It really brings out the flavour. It's really nice. And the same with watermelon. Yeah, I know you look, that's how what I think. But salt is good. Well, the doctors say it's bad. I say it's good. But salt can bring out the life inside. And if you clean a wound with salt, it keeps it sterile. It stings. Yeah, but that's doing a good job, isn't it? Isn't that like God, you know? Sometimes he does stuff because he knows it's good for us, and it stings. And we do live in a fallen world. And all around us is decay. I mean, I've only got a look in my garden yesterday when I was looking at the weeds in between my block paving. Why do weeds grow? Look around though, and you look around and it feels like it's quite negative. And they are strong words, but if I leave something and don't maintain it, it doesn't stay a perfect shape. Yeah, like I imagine, has this gone down a bit? I imagine in the Garden of Eden that, you know, when it grew, it grew. You know, you didn't have to worry that about it, it grew. But if we grow plants now, or we grow fruit, or we grow, if we don't do stuff, we need to do stuff to make them grow. We need to prune it, we need to put manure on. Or like the smell that was coming from Witten this week, they've been spreading muck on all the fields. And we need to do something. And thanks to that curse, the world is groaning out for that time when things will be new again. But until that day, we will do what we can. And the church is the salt of the world. Who's the church? Us. So we are the salt of the world. So by default, God's plans and purposes, you and us, are vital in spreading life to those around us. And the world needs you, us, to make a difference. And so I have in my cupboard a whole pot of salt. Right? And it's all right, the salt being in the cupboard, but it does no good in the cupboard. It needs to be out the cupboard to be put on my dinner. It's also good for destroying snow. But how? How do we make a difference? Let's look through history since Jesus appeared. We won't go through the years, but let's just look at what a difference that those who believe in Jesus has made around the world. How many people have been cared for? The poor been looked after? How many missions have been started in the couple of thousand years? The people that have been helped, the downtrodden. How many Christians not just help the poor, the downtrodden, they also carry the weak at times. Those who are struggling, they carry. They protect the orphans and the widows. And from what I've seen now, I think churches run most of the youth clubs who are doing something for our young people. I think they run most of the toddler groups. They certainly run the food banks. CAP. It's huge around it. You know, we have a nation that is, you know, with austerity that went on, and we have a nation where people are struggling with debt. And who stood up? The Christians. And it's not a pat on the back. That's just what we're called to do. We're called to help those in need. And CAP do a great job. And thousands have come and been helped by the Christians. When tragedies happen, it's the Christians that respond. How many times have we stood up the front? We pray for those where earthquakes happen. Or we put a hand in our pockets to send funds to other countries or in this country. But it's us that respond in the time of need. We do. And we're just doing what Jesus said we should do. And we do it because Jesus is our model. Jesus Christ came to serve, and we are to serve those around us. I've never done it, so it's not something I fancy, but is washing someone else's feet. You know, for the creator of heaven and earth to come down, to be born as he was born, to a virgin, to be with the Holy Spirit, to be raised, to do what all... He's God. You know, in human form. He's God. And he chose to wash people's feet, his disciples' feet. And that is love. And we are just like salt, that we need to get our hands dirty. And we need to, it's a part of who we are, is to serve those around us. So being salt, being that life extender from those around us, helping those in need. Sometimes you can say an amen to this, but sometimes you can think, I think, oh Lord, can't someone else do it this time? And that's the old selfish me kicking in. But the truth is, no, Chris, I put you there to do it. It's the genuineness of God. It's the genuineness of that God looks for in our heart. He looks for that serving, that you become that salt. The other part of the reading was, you are light of the world. And the light is the characteristic of Jesus, and something which is his very nature. It says in 1 John 1:5, it says, This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in him. Wherever he goes, light. So in Jesus, there's no room for darkness, and that only that light shines out. And it is who he is, and he cannot help it. He can't try to be any different. Wherever he goes, darkness disappears. You ever seen that picture of the flame? Yeah, when you light a candle and you've got a dark room, the flame has no shadow. Light can't cast a shadow. And it overflows to every part of who he is as well. So there can be no sin. We call sin darkness. There can be no sin in Jesus. There's no hidden things. He generates life. So with that light generates life. Warmth, bearing fruit. He creates a community. But the best thing is that he draws people into that relationship with God the Father. When I see Jesus as the bright light, I get transfixed like a moth. Have you ever been there? You know, where that... you look at the light, you can't help it. You can't... It's like, wow, it's bright. It's amazing. But transfixed on Jesus means that we're focusing on him. We're focusing on the things of him. And we see it. And we see it and want to replace that darkness that's inside of us with his light. And the Bible says that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So anyone who does not know Jesus falls short. We need his light in us. Light symbolizes life. And Jesus had a habit of doing this. Wherever he went, you read the Gospels, wherever he went, he brought life. We see in the Gospel of John, we see the I am statements where Jesus declares in John 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So in everything we do, we mirror him. Wherever we go, we are life givers. We're also the salt. We're the preservers. But wherever we go, we give life. That's what we're called to do. But think about that for a minute. The Bible becomes clearer. Storing up worldly things. In Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Worry. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus, you might... He's wonderful. Because You know, when we focus on him, all them other things that we think are really, really important, they lose their power. They do. And the light, and that light, this light is in us as believers. And so Jesus is just stating a fact. If you're him, in him, then the light is in you. You become the light that draws others. And our actions become who we are. So if we love, if we love and we pour out ourselves, you know, Jesus poured out on us, then we love and pour out on others, then who gets glorified? Jesus. And that's what, is that why we've been put on this earth? Well, one of the reasons, I think, glorify God. Jesus is the answer to all our problems. So if we want that life-giving life, that means that we have a fulfillment, a relationship with God, then we must bend our knee to him and accept him as our Lord and Saviour. It's by grace that we're saved and not by our own works. Alone we cannot reach God, but it's through a relationship with Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, a sinless man, rose again to life, and is now sitting in heaven. He did this for you and me. It's an interesting statement. I have a terrible memory, right? So forgive me if you know the answer to this question. If a tree falls in a wood and nobody is there to hear it, does it actually make a noise? You're killing me today, you know. Respond, please. Come on. Yes? No? Yeah, oh, thank you, David. Who knows? Because we're not there. And many debates range over the answer, don't they? But the truth is, of course it makes a noise. It goes down, it goes bang. It's just we're not there to hear it. And this is a good way of stating a fact of God. The truth is the truth. Jesus says that he's the only way to the Father, no other way. If we choose to believe this, then it's up to us, but it's still a truth. If we choose not to believe it and go our own way, it's still a truth, and on Judgment Day we will find out. Because Jesus wants, he loves. He's about love. I mean, Gary, I don't know how I was going to follow Gary's talk today. The Holy Spirit smashed it last week. So ignoring God does not make the truth of his words go away. How many of us have, we was talking about this on Friday at study, but you know, not everyone had a Damascus experience, did they? You know, the road to Damascus. Not everyone saw a blinding light and all of a sudden, on the floor, blind for 3 days, and someone come along, here's your vision. Not everyone has that. Some people have testimonies like myself, which you think, I was challenged. I wanted to prove that God didn't exist, and it took about between 4 and 5 months, I suppose, when our minds decided to bow its knee, you know. But actually, that's not really a massive testimony. You know, it's not like Paul. It's not like a drug user who gets convicted in prison and turns their life around and they're on stages around the world. But it's still important. And that's just how God needed to get to me. You know, around the world now, I mean, Christians are praying, but there are many, many Muslims having visions of Jesus. And they accept him, and the punishment is cut off from family, possibly death. But they accept him because of a vision And that's powerful. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So getting to the light again, if we believe that we have the light of Christ in us, then wherever we go, we are the light. So the Holy Spirit will provide them conversations, will provide them healings, provide them miracles, provide them words to speak. What about us? The truth is that these scriptures also come with a bit of a warning afterwards. And I probably bored you to tears with talking about salt. I mean, I don't know if someone wants to count up how many times I said the word salt, 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 but afterwards Jesus says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is actually a bit of a warning to us believers. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't hide your light. Both are valid and important points. If salt loses its saltiness, then it's no longer fit for purpose. If we lose our closeness with God, stop doing good deeds and making a difference. If we sit back knowing that we're going to go to heaven anyway and just live a life without making a difference to preserve those around, I think I'd be missing the point of what it is to be a believer. Jesus came to serve, make a difference, and to connect us to him. He has a plan and purpose for each of us. Each and every one of us here today, not everyone is called to stand and be a musician. Not everyone is called to be up in the sandbox like Dave. Not everyone has a different calling, a different job, different body parts. I probably rattle on about that as well a lot. You know, we're not all an ear, we're not all an eye. We're all different and about wonderfully made. We are. Everyone, precious. So, you're the light of the world. So my challenge to the church is don't hide who you're meant to be. When you're at work and someone says, where was you on Sunday? It might be hard to say, well, I was at church, do you know Jesus? But it might be easier to say, I was at church yesterday. And then let the Holy Spirit create opportunities to follow up. We are who we are. We meet on a Sunday. We meet to worship and praise God. Amen? And that's a good thing. And we do live in a liberal world, where the words of Jesus are being challenged every day. And they're saying, are you sure you meant that? Are you sure you meant that you're the only way to get to God the Father? And sadly, that has crept into some churches around the country. But let's not be like Eve when Satan says, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? We know the truth because it's here, and the truth is needed. The gospel is offensive. It declares the only way to reach God is through Jesus Christ, and millions of other believers of different religions or atheists around the world don't agree with this truth, but a truth is always a truth. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, so whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So shine your lights out. Shine bright as what you can possibly be. The world needs to know Jesus. The world needs the gospel. The world needs you. It's only you that's going to change the world with God. Bit of a serious bit, just to finish. A little bit serious face, but remember that everything that salt touches is made different. So church, if you want to impact your local community and the world, then you need to make a difference. You all have the light of the world inside you. And God is a good God. He doesn't ever put us in positions which would mean we'd get the sack unless there was a reason. So if at work someone says, "Oh, you start telling someone the gospel at work," and I don't think God asked everyone to do that. Many parts, some of my eyes, but actually loving someone. That's important. Being an ear to listen. Being a shoulder to cry on. Helping out where you can. That's all shining your light. That doesn't necessarily have to be you do the road to Romans gospel. We go through the Bible and it will teach you how to be saved. Love. Jesus loves. So I'm going to finish there. I suppose if I was going to put a challenge on that, I'd say, be the best you can. Wherever you go, we're called to serve. Wherever you go, we're called to be that light. Amen.